Welcome to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. First, I am not an expert, just a person like you living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. And lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. But what you choose to do with that information is always your choice. And what works for one may not work for all. In our previous episode, we talked about the post-traumatic growth inventory. If you decided to complete the questionnaire to illuminate potential pathways for healing, I'd love to hear your reflection. Reach out or come to our next flock meeting on Saturday, April 5th. Today, we are joined by Dr. Susan Peyrovi, physician at Stanford and founder of TrueMedicineMS.com, to talk about the healing power of dance. Before we dive into our conversation, let's first talk about why this matters for us. Studies show that at least 50% of people living with MS experience depression. Many studies actually show this number to be even higher, and yet even those lower numbers are significantly higher than the general population. In fact, our rate of depression is at least 3 to 10 times higher. Why is this the case? Well, there are several contributing factors. The first is the neurological impact. We can have lesions in different areas of our brain that regulate our mood, and these lesions can directly contribute to depression. There's also a psychological impact. I likely don't need to tell you that living with a chronic, progressive, and unpredictable disease can lead to feelings of sadness, hopelessness, anxiety, uncertainty, depression, and apathy. There's also what's called symptom overlap. Some symptoms of MS, like fatigue and cognitive changes, can mimic or even exacerbate depression. Inflammation, which we know is a factor in MS progression, also contributes to depression. And the impact of depression can worsen our MS symptoms and increase the risk of a decreased quality of life, our ability to function day to day, and our disease severity. So, what about treatments? Well, as far as treatments, what's recommended is counseling, therapy, and medication in the form of SSRIs. Let's talk a bit about SSRIs. SSRIs are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and this is a class of antidepressants that increase serotonin levels in the brain. Common SSRIs include Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, Celexa, Lexapro, and others. SSRIs work by blocking the reuptake of serotonin in the brain, which makes more serotonin available to us, helping to improve our mood, reduce our anxiety, and relieve symptoms of depression. Many people in our community successfully use SSRIs, and yet, for many of us, they might not be as effective as we would wish. We also might experience side effects. The most common SSRI side effects are GI distress, insomnia, nightmares, and other sleep disturbances, reduced libido and other sexual dysfunction, anxiety, tremors, headaches, fatigue, dizziness, and weight changes. Usually, these side effects are temporary and improve over time as our bodies adjust to the medication, but sometimes they can persist, and if so, SSRIs might not be your best option. It's also important to note that the positive impact of SSRIs on depression and MS may not be as significant as with individuals without MS. Part of this is a mystery yet to be solved. And this is why a combined approach often yields the best results for us. So let's talk about how dance can help. A few weeks ago, I read an interesting article called, quote, Effective Exercise for Depression, a Systematic Review and Network Meta-Analysis of Randomized Controlled Trials. This article was originally published February 14, 2024, in the BMJ, or British Medical Journal, which is described online as a prestigious peer-reviewed medical journal published by the British Medical Association. The results of this study showed dance as a very reliable remedy for depression. And while any exercise can help alleviate depression, dancing was found to be the most effective. This article shared that they analyzed the results from 218 different studies involving over 14,000 participants, and the consensus was that dancing outperformed medication and the four other most effective physical activities, which included yoga, walking, strength training, and jogging. And while some of these might be outside our current ability, like walking or jogging, the good news is that there's adaptive yoga and strength training with a physical therapist, both of which are very accessible for our community. And dance is very inclusive. We can dance in our chairs if we need to, and even just swaying to the music or humming along can have a very positive impact. In the study, they quantified the results, with small effect being 0.2 to 0.5, medium effect 0.5 to 0.8, and a large effect being greater than 0.8. Turns out, the effect of dance came in at 0.96, which was 50% greater than the next best physical activity. Dance consistently stood out as the top activity for reducing symptoms of depression across all groups studied. And the SSRIs, largely believed as the most effective medication for depression, scored 0.26, just barely scoring high enough to be in the small effect or clinically important benefit category. So you can see how using SSRIs alone is not as effective as combining their use with dance or another physical form of movement. There's also adaptive dance, which is valuable and enjoyable with many benefits like improved physical function. Dance improves our balance, coordination, physical strength, all of which are negatively impacted by MS. It also improves our flexibility and range of motion. We'll also experience enhanced psychological well-being. Dance is an outlet for creative expression and provides critical emotional release. Do you experience spasticity? Spasticity is one of my most prevalent symptoms, and using dance to release the tension I store in my body helps reduce those symptoms of spasticity. Dance boosts mood, reduces stress, and diminishes feelings of isolation. Social interaction in group dance settings fosters a sense of community, and it's fun. There's also cognitive benefits of dance. Learning and remembering dance steps can stimulate cognitive function, and just the rhythmic nature of dance can improve our focus and attention. It also increases our overall quality of life. By addressing both physical and psychological needs, adaptive dance can significantly improve our overall quality of life. Let's talk a bit about adaptive dance. Adaptive dance is seated dance movements. It involves modified standing routines. It focuses on gentle and flowing movements and uses chairs or other props for support and assistance. It focuses on individual expression and enjoyment. So, where can we find dance opportunities? Well, the first place to look is in person. Your local dance studios, community centers, rehabilitation, physical therapy, and hospital centers. The National MS Society also has Dance for MS programs, or can help you locate more programs in your area. The Kern Dance Alliance has a program called Adapt-E-Dance for folks with intellectual, cognitive, and physical disabilities. YouTube is also a great resource. I even found Scottish Seated Ballet for MS that looks fascinating. Don't forget about those local resources. Check Google or local community pages for live music near me. You'll be amazed what opportunities you'll find. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I went to a 5-hour outdoor show at a local beer garden to see a band called The Devil Makes Three. This is my gratitude for this episode, in fact. It was a sold-out show despite the intermittent rain and chilly 35-degree Fahrenheit weather. Part of me wasn't sure I would enjoy it, especially given the weather. But their driving beats kept me going all night, and being strategic about where I stood behind the sound technicians provided me with a metal barrier that I could lean on or use to stretch if I needed to. Knowing I had a support there if I needed it gave me the confidence I needed to thoroughly enjoy the evening. I gotta tell you, it was such good therapy. I smiled, danced, and sang all night. I felt so alive. We plan to attend more concerts this spring to keep the joy flowing. Okay, without further ado, let's hear from Dr. Susan to hear more from her about the healing powers of dance and to hear about an upcoming opportunity to dance with her. All right. Hello, Dr. Susan. Thank you for being here today.
I'm so thrilled to be here. Thanks so much for asking me to be on.
Well, we're going to talk about a topic today that is, I think, amongst both of our favorites. We're going to talk about dance. And I'm super excited because you are like the queen of dance. So thank you again for being here to chat with us. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about depression, first of all, with MS. Why is dealing with depression so important for us?
Well, depression really has a huge impact on quality of life. It steals your motivation. It takes away your desire to do things that were actually joyful and things that you enjoyed. And it influences not just your psyche, but also your physical health as well. You don't want to move. You want to just stay on the couch, stay in bed. It changes your relationships with your loved ones. So it has a massive effect on quality of life. And it's actually so common in the MS population. Some estimates say that at least half of people with MS will experience depression at some point in their life. And I think that's actually a very conservative estimate, right?
I would agree. And in fact, some of the studies I read said it's as much as like 10 times higher in our population than the general population.
Absolutely. And I agree with that because, there's brain changes with MS, structural changes, inflammation can have an inflammation in the central nervous system can actually have an impact on mood, on anxiety, and there's also, other factors that can lead to depression with MS. Like, for example, you've lost your ability to move and now you're not exercising, or you can't take care of yourself. You've lost your independence. You've lost your ability to work. And so it really just hits on so many aspects of a person who's dealing with this disease.
And it feels like, these symptoms, they kind of snowball. And once, movement goes, then it impacts our ability to have a regular bowel movement, which impacts a lot of other things. Like how do you see that progressing in MS patients?
Yeah, I love your comment about the bowel movement. For me, it often all comes down to like, do you have a daily bowel movement, right? Because to me, that's like a marker of health. If you have that regularity, like, is your gut working? Like that might be one way we can look at the gut. But, depression is wrapped up with changes in hormones. Perhaps someone may be showing abnormalities in high cortisol in the morning or low cortisol in the morning or low cortisol all the time. They may also have fatigue. How common is fatigue in MS? Super common. And so, depression can show up in lots of different ways, like sleep disturbance. A lot of people who deal with depression have early morning awakening. They have that 3, 4 a.m. awakening, can't get back to sleep. So it kind of works its way into many different aspects of one's life in very insidious ways that, people may not be seeing the connection. And what's really hard about depression is that once you've lost motivation and you've lost interest in engaging in your life, it's a downward spiral, right? You lay in bed, you cut off social connections, you may have, trouble connecting with family members, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And so the Western medicine strategy is, well, let's give you some antidepressants that can raise serotonin levels. And people do well with that. Like that is a strategy that works for a lot of people. But when I say it works, I don't think I'm really saying that it works 100%, right? I don't know that I have many patients who are on antidepressants and they're all the way better. Like that's not an easy mark to hit with a pharmaceutical alone strategy. It's also not easy to hit that 100% improved mark with, all of the lifestyle things that I'm always talking about, but adding in the lifestyle habits, like getting movement in your day, cleaning up your diet, cutting down sugar, eating more vegetables and fruits and plants, et cetera, getting a little more sleep. All of these things will synergize with whatever medications you may be doing to give you a bigger lift in mood. And so many studies, I mean, the data around exercise and low mood is solid. Like, I cannot think of studies that showed that exercise worsens depression. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that study. And we should stop being surprised at this. Like, the human body is made to move. It is not made to be in bed all day, nor is it made to be sitting in front of a computer all day with your neck in one position. So movement is part of how our body wants to be in this world. And if we can be more intentional about bringing movement in, maybe it's called dance. Maybe it's called exercise. Maybe it's cleaning your house. Whatever it is, it matters a lot.
Wow, it sounds like it impacts everything, right? So getting started at a good entry point is, doing some sort of movement that is fun. So tell us a little bit about, you have this creation, the Myelin Room. Tell us where this came from and what this is.
Yeah, it's just one of those strange conversations I had with a really good friend back in medical school. We were studying neurology, learning about myelin. I didn't know a thing about myelin. I didn't have MS at the time, but and we used to love to dance. We would study until 10 o'clock at night, then we'd get dressed, we'd go down to this nightclub down in San Diego, and we'd be there till 2 a.m. and then we'd come home and then study the next day, right? This was like the thing that motivated us to study. We love to dance. And if we couldn't get down there, we'd just dance in my room. It was just so much fun. And I remember thinking, we were talking about, oh, we should have a nightclub when we're doctors, like when we have some money to throw at this thing. And so we thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool if it was called the Myelin Room? And outside there would be the picture of an axon, which is a nerve cell, and it would like be white, and it could show how the nerves transmitting, the weird conversations you have with your friends at 3 in the morning when you're trying to not study. So anyways, fast forward, a couple decades later, we became doctors, but we never did do the nightclub thing, mostly because like I can't stay up after 8 o'clock anymore. When I ended up actually getting diagnosed with MS and really trying to figure out how to improve my own health, dance was always really important to me. And when you call me the queen of dance, I just want to clarify, I have no formal training in dance. It's all done in my kitchen. It's mostly awkward, though I actually think it looks good, but that's just my own perception. I also think I can sing really well, but I actually can't, if I'm being objective. But it doesn't matter. It's like what I think to myself is what matters, right? So anyways, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to have an online dance club. Like, I'm already meeting with people on Zoom all the time. Why don't I just do the Mylan room now? And so I did it, and it's been so much fun. We've used this as an opportunity to celebrate birthdays. We celebrated our research cohort that graduated back in December. Actually, the first one was for my 49th birthday back in September, which means there will be one in September this year when I turn 50, because I just want to be joyful. I want to be with people that I admire. Like, I admire my patients and the people that come to my wellness program, because these are the people that are not just happy with the pill. They'll take the pill, but they're also asking, what else can I be doing? And I'm that doctor of the what else can I be doing? I'm pretty creative, and I can come up with outside the box strategies for a lot of people. So I think dance is just one highly underutilized tool that can make us feel joyful. It helps us connect with other people. Dance is really just being vulnerable, moving your body in front of strangers, and it actually really feels good to do something a little scary. And of course, there's music that really just feeds our soul. And of course, singing too. You can sing, and that's also so good for mental health. So, there's data that says, like, singing actually turns on the vagal response, that relaxation response where it takes your immune system down to a cool, calm state, which is going to now tell your immune system to calm down, which is what we all need, right? We just need that immune system to calm itself down. And actually, another interesting fact is humming is probably even better than singing in turning on the vagus nerve.
Love that. Yeah, I actually started using a kazoo for that reason because it also has huge benefits. And I forgot how fun kazoos are, right? Like, I hadn't used one since I was a kid. So that was really exciting to read how much that can stimulate the vagus nerve.
And it's cheap. Like, I like cheap things. And I'm just having this picture of you with your kazoo now, because we kind of think of that as something that kids do, but nothing out there says you can't do it. So I love that you're doing that.
I think I will probably have to bring my kazoo to the next Mylan room.
I love
People who have been there know I have a big bag of veggie shakes
it.
that are really great. And boy, do I get an arm workout. As someone who has rehabbed both of my rotator cuffs, just moving my arms for that 30 minutes is a pretty intense workout. It's great.
Absolutely. There's so many ways to move. So many of us have limitations, but that's not a reason to stop moving. In fact, it's a reason to even be more intentional about moving, because it's a use it or lose it phenomenon, right? If you stop using body parts, they're going to get stiffer and more painful and contracted. So movement is the medicine for that.
So let's talk about then who shows up at the Mylan room. Who is it for? Is there anyone it's not for? What can people expect?
Sure. Well, I mean, anybody is welcome to join. I initially started this with my MS community with True Medicine, but I'm becoming very interested in just opening it up to everybody, because I just want everybody to find something that's joyful and easy and just to do it with us. If you have an interest in stepping into your life and feeling joy, I'd love to have you there. There's no cost. You just come. You have to have a computer and the ability to get on Zoom. And some people, oh, I had this one lovely gentleman this past week when we did it, and he has fatigue, but he had budgeted all of his energy for that 30 minutes. And I don't know if you remember, but he was just in it to win it, right? And I felt so much joy just watching this man dance. So there's people who are dancing. Some of them are great dancers. Some of them, like me, are not so great dancers, but whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just about movement. You can even just shake your body parts. Doesn't matter. And then other people will just sit and watch us dance. Some people feel comfortable just turning off their screen, even. And if they can feel the joy of being in that space with us, listening to music, maybe singing and humming along, moving a body part that feels like a good fit, then that's great. Who is it not for? I can't think of anything. I mean, unless you hate dancing and music, I guess don't come.
And let's also add, your soundtracks are incredible. They're so motivating, bring so much joy. I think even if I wasn't dancing, I don't know if I'd be able to sit still actually to some of the songs you pick.
Yeah, I do put a lot of time into the soundtrack, and I'm constantly like listening for music that I love, and I just let that be the guiding principle. And this last time we did it for someone's birthday, and she loved the 70s. She sent me the songs, and they were great. I think maybe like if I wasn't a doctor, maybe I could have been a DJ. I do love music so much. And I do go by my stage name when I'm in the Myelin room. It's DJ Joy and Sweat. So
Perfect. Perfect. So when is the next one?
well, we are gonna do the next Myelin room Saturday, April 26th, 2025, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, and it's only for 30 minutes. I know that feels short, but I think it's the right amount of time for us to get in, get some joy and movement, maybe some sweat even, and then get out and get on with the rest of our day. So it's just 30 minutes. Drop in. You do have to sign up on our website so I can send you the Zoom link and the reminders so that you don't miss it. And as I said, it's free. It's open to anybody. I've had kids do it. I met a family in Spain this past summer, and for my birthday, their entire family showed up and danced with me. They even had like strobe lights. They had, I don't know why they had strobe lights at home, but they did. And it was just lovely to just see people from all around the world. And so, yeah, so I do it in the morning on purpose so that hopefully it works for other time zones throughout the world as well.
You're so inclusive. Love that. Love that. And so, what website do people look for the sign up for this Mylan Room event?
So the easiest way probably is to go to drsusanpeyrovi.com. And if you go up to the header, it'll say events. If you click on that, all any upcoming events will be there. And then you can just sign up. And then we'll send you the link and reminders. And I'm so excited to meet new people. I didn't ever set out to be the wacky doctor, but MS gave me the opportunity of exploring a lot of other things. Because my career in anesthesia ended because of a weak left arm because of MS. And what's really lovely, the gift of MS for me, is that I was able to explore so many other areas of medicine that were not even on my radar if I was still an anesthesiologist. And learning to live intentionally with MS also has guided me towards things that feel joyful because I'm gonna choose joy every single time. And if something feels joyful, I'm gonna do it. Is it embarrassing dancing in front of my patients? Not anymore. I mean, I'm over it. Like, it just took a one-time thing. I used to do this in person with patients at Stanford, and it's not a big deal, especially when there's other people doing it and we're not being judgmental. It's really about movement. So come, be awkward, be however you are, and I'd love to meet you all.
Ooh, I cannot wait. Thank you so much for joining us today, getting me fired up again about the Myelin Room and giving us a little input about where it came from. Your joy is contagious and it helps me heal and all of us heal. So thank you so much for everything you do for our community.
Thank you, Katie. I love everything that you do and all the great information you're always providing in such a digestible way where people can understand a complex research article and to be able to take away the main parts of that and figure out how to incorporate that into their routines. I mean, at the end of the day, if we're really interested in our self-care, then we have to put the work in to figure out what we need to do to make things work. We don't need a fancy doctor to personalize a plan for us. We all have the ability to do that. So, I just commend you and all the good work that you do. And I'm so looking forward to dancing with you on April 26th.
Can't wait. I'll be there.
Thank you.
I have so much
love and respect for Dr. Susan, also known as DJ Joy and Sweat. And I hope you enjoyed listening to her share about depression and the healing power of dance. My hope today is that as we journey through this year together, that we all, one, acknowledge that there are powerful ways to counteract depression that are easily accessible to all of us and free, and two, that we consider attending a future virtual dance at the Milan Room with Dr. Susan Bayrovi. The next event is scheduled to be held on Saturday, April 26th at 10 a.m. Pacific. And three, that we remain open to the avenues of healing that exist for us. Tomorrow is a new day, and there's lots within our control and ability that we can do to help ourselves feel better. To continue our conversation, you're welcome to attend our Misunderstood Flock meetings via Zoom the first Saturday of each month. Flock members, bring your updates about your one thing you're working on this year in terms of your prioritized MS-related healing. And if you've taken or decide to take the post-traumatic growth inventory prior to our meeting, please bring your thoughts to share. If you're not yet a Flock member but would like to be, please join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and continue our learning on episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas via email. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, especially if we're flying together and supporting one another and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time, be well.